I want you to know that I see you. Out there in the metaphorical desert of your mind. Crawling. Looking for a dribble. A drop. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. A little blip blop. Something to sustain your metaphorical mind-body palace. Daniel is taunting the people that are craving that sustenance. But not I. Let it be known that I am willing to adorn myself.
Sorry.
I'm good.
That's enough, Daniel. Let it be known that I'm willing to adorn myself in an Adidas jogging outfit. And I'm willing to jog into that desert to work up a sweat so that that sweat may be dribbled into your waiting mouth so that you may have your thirst quenched. Welcome to Sound Mind. I'm Justin Haas. Stevie D is over there.
We have a guest today, Daniel Taylor. Welcome for the second time. Thank you. He's our second.
Yeah, he's our first second.
That's right.
I thought I was the first second, but the first second second.
Yeah. No, you're the first second. Yeah, you're the first person to be the second second guest.
Also, I genuinely coughed up a piece of like the top of an everything bagel when I did that, and I was trying to find it as you were talking, and it was on my lip. It was in my mustache.
What's an everything bagel?
Yeah, like the bagels where they have got everything.
Oh man,
just like a bunch of different stuff.
They put onions on them.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know. Onions, like chives, and I'm just, yeah, it's gross. Yeah. So we are going to, first of all, thank you, Justin, for your contribution to mankind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, not letting them die out there in the desert. Mm-hmm. We applaud you.
And I love you very much. And I've told you I hate these intros, but that's what makes them beautiful.
Yeah, it's true.
Don't you want my sweat in your mouth?
Did you say that part? Did I just zone out that part?
I think so.
I don't know if zone is the right word. Maybe like repressed.
Because I said... while I drip my sweat into your waiting mouth.
Yeah, that's how he solves the whole problem.
Yeah.
I think that's assault.
No, because if you're thirsty and you're willing to do whatever it takes.
Sweat is not going to quench anyone's
thirst.
It
is a salty.
It's going to make everywhere. It's just like drinking
taste
salt water.
Of liquid.
But my sweat is pure and not salty.
It's because of his diet that he's on. Mm-hmm. Which is
Whole
like
30.
Mint leaves, basil, and what's that oil you use?
Olive oil.
Right.
That's my update from the last podcast. I did Whole 30.
Yes. He too has pure
sweat.
Yeah.
I did steal that little detail from Daniel.
Did
you? Because I'm not actually on Whole 30.
I did Whole 30.
That's awesome. You look wonderful.
Thank you.
I would drink your sweat before I drank Justin.
Thank you.
That is absolutely fair.
Yeah.
We've seen what Justin
I also have more body hair. So that's part of it.
That is a problem.
I feel like I would assume that you eat like those really cheap pizzas, but you don't.
I don't. I eat Bob Murphy's, gosh dang it.
There you go.
You know the thing about body hair though, at least like I think it'll formulate like a little cone and then cause the trickle down.
I've done that. It's more natural.
I think one of the biggest things I feel like I've lost out on life is knowing Justin as a bachelor. I feel like that would have been a really unique experience.
It was scary.
I believe it. 100%.
Thank God Allie saved everyone from that.
She did.
House. Because I wouldn't know if he was hitting on me and he was serious.
Mm-hmm. Or if he was jokingly hitting on you.
To see if you were serious.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I thank God Christina saved him from that. Too.
There you go.
I might have said
so. Now you guys can just sit and wondering what vibes I'm throwing out on you guys.
Oh, jeez. So all jokes aside, we
all,
have a serious
all things considered.
Thing to discuss.
Yes.
We need to come up with names for segments, but we don't have one yet. But we are going to talk about
I thought we called it the news.
The news.
Yeah, no, you guys got to change it. As the new intern.
Yeah.
The news is too boring.
What about D news?
No.
News with the big D.
You can't use this is the word.
See,
D
now we're going back to the coffee thing.
When we talk about sweat right before, okay? It just doesn't work. It's not good.
Mm.
Anyway, leaves a bad taste in your mouth.
Yeah.
As your sweat would.
70% of this podcast is going to be me adjusting my mustache.
Let's get the other part.
Because it keeps getting coffee in it.
Will be us talking about what we're going to talk about.
I think so, yeah.
Which we've done that before.
As well.
So we're going to start this with a segment of the news.
Are we recording?
Yes, we are so recording. There's no.
We've been
back
recording
now
for about 10 minutes now.
This is an unedited, unfiltered. Live.
Even though we just talked about editing that first part and making the intro.
That would be really fun to do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, bring us into the story. What do you got?
So
D-News.
D-News.
Welcome to D-News with Daniel Taylor.
Hey.
What we know is that there is a man, and this man is Post Malone. Mm-hmm. Post Malone did a song.
Word.
He did, actually did
dropped a whole new album.
Yeah, a whole album came out.
Fantastic. No way. When was this?
Is this his first album?
This is his third album.
Is this his third album?
He's got a mixtape and three albums.
I'm sleeping.
It's a really good album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I
feel like it fully encapsulated his first album being very not mainstream, and then his second album being very mainstream, and then he found a great middle ground.
Oh, wow.
They're all great albums.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, you should probably talk about it because you know more than I do, apparently.
Yeah. So Ozzy Osbourne was on one of the songs.
Who's that?
Who is that?
Yes. Who is Ozzy Osbourne?
Is that what the song is called?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Everybody on Twitter the younger generation on Twitter was freaking out and was so excited that Post Malone had given Ozzy Osbourne his big break.
Yeah,
and some random guy, kind of like Macklemore with that one guy that sang the down. Anyone knew who he was, or maybe everyone did.
I don't
from
know.
What I understood, people were saying that about this guy. It was like, Macklemore made this guy famous.
Yeah,
and
really kind of him.
Yeah, and so Post Malone put Ozzy Osbourne on the map, according to Generation X, Z, Y.
YZX. So XYZ. If you think about it. Ozzy Osbourne should be really thankful.
I would imagine he is.
Well, actually, that's funny because he is very thankful. He did not know who Post Malone was when Post Malone asked him to be on a song, and Ozzy Osbourne came out later and has said that he's working on his greatest album ever with Post Malone's producer, and that he was basically just like in this like lull and in this like bad like a rut, and now he's making the best album ever with Post Malone's producer.
That's awesome.
So the joke comes full circle. Ozzy Osbourne is very thankful for Post Malone.
Full disclosure.
Post Malone saved music.
Ozzy hasn't done a great album in a hot minute.
Ozzy, if you're listening to this, I'm not saying anything about it.
Yeah.
We love you.
I do. But at the same time, I have to acknowledge.
I've never listened to Ozzy Osbourne.
Subpar. There's been some subpar albums. And now that I'm thinking about it, I don't think he's done a really great album since like the 90s. Mm. That's a long flipping time to not do a great album. Anyways,
opinions probably vary, but
in his defense, none of us have done a great album since the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true.
Is that actually true? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, when the 90s ended, I was 7.
Right.
But
I was 6.
He says they're not good albums because they gave him nightmares constantly.
Well, the ones after that gave me nightmares because of how bad they were.
Right.
But I listened to Ozzy a lot when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Didn't you recently have a nightmare? Did you tell me that?
Probably.
No. Yeah.
Do you want to share that with us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
What happened was I was swimming in the water, and all of a sudden there was a shark there, and it ate me.
You heard the dream. Did you hear the dream?
No, I don't remember this.
Oh. I was inside the stomach of the shark, and I met a man. You were there.
Oh.
And we talked. A man? No. Yeah. We together talked to a homeless man who was named Steve. And Steve was trying to start a YouTube channel.
Okay.
And he was asking for tips. And so we showed him, like, hey, this is how you actually create an account on YouTube. I didn't even know that.
Wow.
And once we got his YouTube account set up and all that, and we helped him film his first video.
Inside it ended the belly okay. of the shark.
Yeah. That was all post shark.
So to answer my question, no, you were not the person that had told me they had a nightmare recently.
No.
Okay.
I don't dream.
And why was that a nightmare?
I don't either.
That sounds like a pretty swell dream.
I made it up.
You really botched that.
Okay. Well, anyway, turns out that the guy we ran into, because I was there, is the inventor of YouTube, and he was messing with us
Mark
the whole
Zuckerberg.
Time.
Mark Zuckerberg, the CEO of Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Right.
And also YouTube, because
but
that's how
we are thankful that he let us on like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I want to be
as Ozzy is to Post Malone.
I like being let on by powerful men.
Yeah. In case you don't know, Ozzy Osbourne was like, I mean, come on.
He's an icon.
Rock legend.
Yeah.
When people were fighting over, do you like disco or are you rock? And depending on the answer to that question, we might fist fight.
Wow. Yeah.
I did not know that this was a time where people fist fought over disco versus rock music.
That's probably not. If I was a disco fan, I'd just probably roller skate away.
Yeah. You'd be like, actually, I love disco.
Yeah. I ain't about this.
Yeah. Yeah, he was in Black Sabbath, which is a much better band than any of the music that he did by himself. But
right.
Black Sabbath.
I've seen Ozzy like 2 or 3 times.
Really?
Yeah. What'd you think?
As Black Sabbath or as Ozzy Osbourne?
Ozzy Osbourne. Yeah, probably yeah, not. Yeah, no, I'm not that. Yeah, I think they were.
I don't know.
Before. Yeah.
The
yeah.
only thing I know about Black Sabbath is that I had one of their signature guitars at one point.
Oh, dude. Really? That's mm-hmm. probably worth
it. I was trying to write metal music. Yeah. It was like, I sold it for $100.
Really?
It was worth more than that, but I lived in a small town and needed to go to college.
Right.
Yeah.
Fair.
Wow.
But, yes, Black Sabbath is.
Yeah, no, he widely... wasn't great. He wasn't great. Well, because it was at Ozfest. I went to Ozfest a few different times at the Gorge. Mm. The Gorge was like one of my first jobs.
You worked at the Gorge?
Yeah, I worked crowd management when I was 17. My first concert I ever went to was my first day of work.
That's crazy.
Tom Petty, rest his soul, which I wasn't a Tom Petty fan until the concert. Mm. And then really, really was like...
That's how I was about third day.
Yeah. Live music is
Third Day was my favorite band for years because I saw them in concert, first concert.
Which is why
I don't know how to respond to that.
Super important to gig and do live shows if you're a musician and artist because
it's the
experience that a lot of people bring.
I think that Third Day is the greatest CCM band of all time.
What's CCM?
Christian Contemporary Music.
I guess we could argue that.
I don't want to have that argument right now. That's like, you know.
If we're gonna by it.
If we're going to edit anything, I would edit that conversation.
Wow, that's a bigger diss of Christian music than we've ever done on this.
Well, cool, use it as a blip it, because I mean it. And I stand by that.
There we go, write that down. Flip it.
I stand by that. Well, let me finish what I was saying earlier, really quick. There's a reason that Black Sabbath is considered the father of metal, and Ozzy does not really get to continue that mantle, and it was because Black Sabbath is a lot better than Ozzy. But
okay,
interesting.
Yeah, so Ozfest, to answer your question,
which I asked you,
amazing bands at Ozfest, like especially in like the hard rock music.
Do you recall the year by any chance?
64, right?
Would have been, let's see, would have been early 2000s. Like maybe 2000,
was
2001.
POD there?
POD was there.
Are you serious?
Dude.
Yeah. POD was there. Rob Zombie.
POD was at the top of their game.
Yeah.
Was this before they started cussing or after they started cussing?
They started cussing really early on.
Yeah,
actually.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
They started cussing after I stopped listening to them.
They dropped the F-bomb later on. But there's an N-word on their first big album, yeah.
Yeah, this was.
Are you serious?
Yeah, on the same album that Southtown's on.
How did they get away with that in Christian culture?
POD has never been.
No, but they were very accepted by the Christian community.
That is true.
Right, right. Uh-huh. But they were not vocally Christian.
I thought they were.
I'm sorry, that's not. They didn't market themselves as a Christian band.
But they were on a Christian record label, weren't they?
I don't recall.
Oh, I don't know.
But yeah.
That's a great question.
They dropped the N-word in, like, there's, like, just a recording of some people chatting in the background. So it's not like a lyric.
But it wasn't a white person that said it.
I do not know who said it.
That could be controversial.
The N-word?
Yeah.
I guarantee. Like, what? Was there any black people in POD?
Isn't the main guy mixed?
Oh, maybe. He looks white.
Yeah, I actually
white with
don't
dreadlocks.
Remember.
Well, then he cut his hair, I think. Anyway.
Oh,
yeah, POD was there. They were dope. We can unpack
they
more.
They sang
of
Youth of the Nation.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Great
and,
song.
Yeah, Rob Zombie, I said that already. I think Marilyn Manson was there one of the times I was
Holy
there.
Holy cow.
It was, yeah.
You
Static X.
You got like a heyday kind of situation.
Yeah, no.
Avril
that's what Ozfest was. I mean, I don't think they do it anymore, but it was.
They
like,
do.
Is it? It's like the really? Most popular heavy bands.
Now they have Posty Fest.
I don't know. I don't know if they still do it, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. But it was till really recently.
This is why we shouldn't put our phones in airplane mode, so we could ask Siri.
Right. Yeah.
Hey, Siri. Yeah, it's in airplane mode.
Yeah, can't do it.
She's our fourth person on the set.
Yeah, we should give her her own mic.
We should have, and you guys should have an entire episode where you just interview Siri.
That would be interesting.
And a little bit.
It would not be interesting.
Yeah, it'd be a little
We do it at home all the time, and we seem pretty interested. She's so funny.
Oh, wow. You just told a knock
joke?
I thought you were a computer.
So anyway, set the stage. Those were the bands that were there. And then Ozzy would headline. Mm-hmm. You know, he would be the last. So it's like Ozfest might not have happened without Ozzy, you know what I'm saying? But like, you know, after you sit through a Rob Zombie set, POD, like these guys in the middle of their heyday, and then Ozzy closes it, it's like, you know what I mean? Because you can't even understand the words he's speaking half the time. And I do love you, Ozzy, but you can't. You know, ask your wife, she'll tell you.
He was heavily doing drugs at the time. I don't know if he's still doing drugs.
Well, a lot of them were, but they could pronounce their words.
So Stevie's saying, as long as you pronounce your words, drugs are good.
Well,
whoa.
Specifically heroin.
Do not
this has been the Sound
that.
Mind podcast.
No. That is not
do
what
drugs.
Saying.
Pronounce your words.
Wow.
Do them in unison.
I feel like.
But if you're going to do one of the two,
blasphemed by media. No.
The mainstream media.
The streams are going to skyrocket.
It's so crazy. Like, that can actually happen while you're sitting next to the person. Never thought.
You never
suspected. Let me take your comment out of context right in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And
there
then
you
blast
go.
It out on media.
This is the tabloid of podcasts.
Oh, my gosh.
I was going to say something really important about, like, morality and the nature of...
No, you weren't.
Yeah, you're right.
Should we get into our topic?
Yeah.
If you want.
I do, because there's nothing else that I want to say, and your important comment disappeared. Probably pop out through your beard later or something.
Yeah.
Through your mouth hole. Anyway.
You guys are very bearded.
We are.
I was looking at the first.
You look like you're like.
I trimmed it recently. I accidentally trimmed it recently.
Yeah.
I accidentally cut it recently. But I was looking at the first podcast. You did not have a beard in the first couple of hours. You had a little beard, but
I
not.
Did. Yeah, like I wanted to have a beard when I grew up.
Yeah. And now you are.
I know. Mm-hmm. Justin, his manliness has grown.
Yeah, I literally drastically reduced my beard like 2 weeks ago, and I shouldn't have.
Not on purpose.
Not on purpose.
See, so when we have you back, and you'll be our first.
Third.
Well, who knows? You might be our third.
We're about to promise something you can't keep.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know how it's going to play out, but you might have a man beard by then.
There you go.
We should have an initiation process.
I already had the
very full beard.
Oh, did you?
It was like down to here.
Oh, is that like a half inch longer?
No, it was like
down to there.
It was
a full situation.
It was not like Justin or Stevie full beard.
I never saw your full beard.
Yeah, you did.
Did I? I didn't notice.
I'm thinking about
the gradual process.
I do this thing where I obsess over my beard.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about just letting it go and not even caring. Yeah. And it's just going to look nasty for a while. Mm-hmm. And then I'll trim it up when it's super long and it'll look super dope.
Yeah.
But the problem is I just keep trimming it.
Right.
And so it stays short because I don't stop.
Right.
You have one of the best beards I've ever seen, though.
No,
so maybe
you
not
have
do
a great
that.
Beard. I'm down for that, though. Because I, like, as a person, I'm all about experimenting.
Yeah. And I kind of want to just start growing everything out.
Yeah,
my body hair.
I would love
my
that.
Head hair.
Stop
like,
shaving your chest hair.
Maybe there's like a savage inside of Justin that just needs to express itself.
He just needs the t-shirt.
Not taking care of yourself. It's lack of hygiene.
So back to our topic.
Yeah. Well, one more thing before we do what we said we were going to do, like adults. But what I was going to say is Charlie Bufford, who we reference a lot on this podcast,
really?
Not head on.
Really?
Which probably should change.
Yeah, we're going to change that.
Charlie Bufford, after our Misfit Hour show,
mm-hmm.
he was like, how do you keep that inside of you?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I don't. That's the problem.
Yeah. Speaking of Charlie, his daughter came in here yesterday when I was here. Was it yesterday?
Mercedes. She's been here a couple
yeah,
times.
Mercedes.
Yeah,
Mercedes. And I walk in the door off a phone call with Trixie.
Oh, yeah.
And she goes, oh, my gosh. Like, you told me your music was on Apple Music, and I have been listening. Like, I spent an entire week where I listened to nothing but your music. And I was like, what? Like, holy cow. And she said, I heard you putting out new stuff, and I was excited as if a Beyonce song was dropping. And that was the greatest compliment I've ever received in my life.
Yep.
Thank you, Mercedes.
We should
you
clap.
See this.
Thank you, Mercedes.
Mercedes.
Yes.
And Daniel.
So grateful.
For making amazing music.
Beyonce.
Yeah. Beyonce status.
For Beyonce for setting the example.
Right.
Dude, wow.
She's got a lot of bottom end in the music. Anyway.
The topic.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about...
Hold on a sec. I want to go back. Charlie said, how do you keep that all inside of you? And you said you don't?
Yeah.
Do you believe yourself?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't believe you.
I don't... So, like, this, the thing that everyone does is when we feel emotions, we shove them deep down inside. We shove them in there, and then we cover the space there with food. Okay? So you just shove it deep down, your feelings. You just shove your feelings, and then you trap your feelings down there by just eating as much food as you can find.
You said everyone does this?
I do this.
Yeah, but you started with everyone does this.
I recently saw a kid shove a french fry into another kid's ear.
Right.
So that's something someone does.
With like a finger, like push it in and then push it down in there. All right. And then did it to an adult right afterwards.
Yeah. I have a 2-year-old that keeps sticking food up his nose.
This kid was 17.
Like, you're trying to feed the kid and it turns into like a medical situation.
Yeah, like you got to plug one nostril and you go blow it out. And he's like,
oh no, what really works is you plug one nostril and then you blow into their mouth.
Oh.
So most of you guys don't know this, but I've started interning for Stevie. And as part of this internship, I'm saying, let's get on track.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to be like,
and
part
also,
of
as part of his internship, he helps blow the like little stuck french fries out of my toddler's noses.
That's what I was
going
to say.
Because I have a lot of kids. Yeah. And I can only do one at a time.
Yeah.
So. This bathroom soap smells weird.
Does
I don't like the church's bathroom soap.
Look at that. It's like, if I can't beat
him. Let's get on track.
If I can't beat him, I'll join him.
Join him. Yeah.
Okay. Man. Back on track
is...
You were talking about eating your feelings away.
Yeah.
Whoa.
On the track would be a cool podcast name.
On the track.
Mm-hmm. Or like a segment where we're talking about a song track.
On the track, yeah.
Dude.
Back on track.
So and so on the track. Back on the track for the second time.
All right, so you started with everyone eats their... Everybody stuffs it deep down and covers it with food.
Yeah, let me backtrack. Okay. So everybody stuffs their feelings to some degree.
I'm a useless intern. Keep going.
And
this is weird. I feel like I'm inside Daniel's head.
Yeah.
Don't ever talk to yourself that way, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. Also,
bringing your thoughts into alignment.
Yes.
I am the most amazing guest that has ever been on this show.
I am good. I am beautiful. I am awesome. I am amazing.
Right.
What is that from?
I don't know. Something. Keep going.
Yeah.
Let's get to the...
Yeah. So I think everybody, or at least every man, stuffs their emotions to some degree.
Mm. I would say everybody.
Yeah.
To some degree.
And then not everyone covers it with food.
Right.
But I do.
Some
I do that part.
Do it with compulsive beard trimming and stuff like that.
Yeah, just like weird, like,
fortunately,
what?
You have a great metabolism.
Yeah.
And so you didn't have to do Whole 30.
But I, believe it or not, the food is catching up.
Wow. Uh-oh.
So I need to start fighting back.
I didn't even talk to you about that.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
You're going to Whole 30?
Yeah.
Yeah. Once I start in Whole 30, dude, I'm gonna look hot. Yeah.
That's right. Hotter.
Yeah, man.
I need to do it again.
So was that the end, or like, is there more?
No.
That's the end.
That's it. Yeah, there's no resolution.
Yeah.
I'm still doing it.
I think that you totally lost context with what you're saying.
Right.
Charlie said, how do you hold that in all the time? Now, Grant, how long have you known Charlie?
Since I was like 15.
I think it's, how old are you now?
26.
That's 11 years.
Yeah. It's a long time.
So I would imagine, how well do you think he knows you?
Pretty well.
So I think it's probably safe to say that he sees something coming out that he doesn't see all the time.
Yeah, that's fair.
There you go.
Thank God for...
Music.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, that's the outlet.
There's the context for this podcast.
Yeah.
Thank God for music.
I cover it with food and it erupts as screamo.
This is on track now. Yes, erupts.
We're pump pop hopefully today. Oh, so yeah, we'll talk about it later. We have plans tonight.
Plans? Okay.
Right? Are we doing band practice tonight?
I forgot about that.
Whoa.
But hopefully.
Okay. Are starting a band.
Yeah.
A whole nother band?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Remember how we talked about the name?
No.
I don't know.
Should we... No, it's not dropped it.
No, because we don't know for sure.
Yeah. You probably haven't talked to me about the name then.
Yeah.
We got your advice.
Really?
You don't remember this?
Should we get the advice on the podcast?
Yeah. Okay. So let's do it. So we were debating a few different band names. And I suggested Thin Kid as the name of the band.
I keep accidentally call it Thin Guy.
Yeah.
And every time I say it,
Thin Guy.
I go, dumb. I don't like it. I don't like it. And then you go Thin Kid. And I'm like, okay, I can handle it.
Yeah, that's better. So anyway, Yeah. Less lunch, think. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, so you're still on that thin kid. So he's warmed up to it.
I have definitely warmed up to it.
Yeah.
I like it a lot.
Yeah.
I like it a
lot. We're doing
like
a pump.
Thin kid, no plural.
Yeah.
Not thin guy. That's stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be like a
like, oh, look at that thin guy over there. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Well, yeah. It started because I wanted to do a punk pop side project. Because originally I was thinking moving punk pop away from my normal stuff. And
then, like,
and you said no.
Yeah.
You said no. And then I decided to just have that another outlet, because there are songs where I'm like, this, I can make it work, but it's not going to sound as good. Not actually punk pop.
Yeah.
So we're going to go with that, see how it works.
Cool. That's awesome. Yeah. Do you guys have, like, I mean, you have other musicians in the band? Do you have a drummer?
We have
maybe
a drummer.
Yeah.
Wait, maybe?
Yeah. He wants to feel us out a little bit.
Okay.
But
and then we've got another Josh playing bass.
Awesome.
Josh Forward.
Oh, cool. Yeah. That's so exciting.
Yeah, dude. We're trying to go very punk forward on that one.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And Josh is punk forward.
That's great. Yeah. And I didn't even know he played.
His name actually, he was named Punk when he was born. Yeah. So his last name was Forward. And punk forward.
His middle name is actually Thin Guy. That's how we got the name.
Is Punk Forward, is that like a thing? Have you heard anybody say Punk Forward? Because that's a really cool.
I heard Daniel say it. No, wait. I heard myself say
it. You said it, yeah.
Just now.
I like that. Well, that needs to be something. Punk Forward is just, that seems cool.
Yeah,
it's like,
that can be
like,
his, that can
I'm,
be
I'm
his
a direct punk. You know, like, I'm not like, you're not going to find out later somehow through accident when the punk slips out. Like, Punk Forward is like.
Well, and that could be Josh's name in the band, because I feel like a lot of times bassists are the ones who have the nicknames.
Yeah.
Flea?
Yeah, he's punk.
Punk
Somebody
Forward.
Else.
Oh, and that's great. Play on words. It's his last name.
Exactly. Yeah.
I like it. So punk.
So Punk Forward. So, yeah, we have a topic, I think,
that we might
talk about briefly.
What was it again?
It's basically this.
Oh, yeah.
This idea of, you know, what it takes to be successful.
What does it
with
take?
Your music, with your as an artist, which honestly, I mean, how do you measure success? But
yeah, we're keeping success. We'll talk local success. We'll start with that.
Yeah, that's better.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I wouldn't even necessarily say
mainstream success.
Yeah, it depends what you mean by success, largely, because you could be a great songwriter and no one will ever hear songs.
You're right. Mm-hmm. I didn't really open that up well. So can anybody fix it?
I think we're saying success as fulfilling dreams somehow.
So to clarify.
It takes. What does it take to get ready for a recording session or a set?
To set yourself up for the one in the million that makes it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, how do you be a good performer? How do you captivate a listener / entrance them into going back with you to America?
No bagels.
How do you make sure that they have their shots and their passport?
Right. Great.
You ask them.
Okay. Yeah.
And so I want to present.
You guys probably didn't get that reference.
I didn't at all.
I did not at all. I was dying.
Oh, and he distracted me with his dying.
I don't know what's happening.
While Daniel recovers, I'll explain the reference.
And if I recover,
you guys might know it. But there's a clip of, what's his name? Creepy guy. R. Kelly. There we go. A bunch of people. R. Kelly in, I think, Ethiopia. And he's singing to the audience, do you have your passport? Do you have your shots? Girl, would you like to come back with Rob to America? And he's basically, throughout these verses, he's singing, hey, if you've got it all figured out, you can come with me tonight. Like, let's go.
Does he mean it, though?
Yes.
I think he probably does.
He's a complete creeper.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, yeah, it's a great clip. Look it up on YouTube. It's fantastic.
Wow.
Got it all in high quality.
That's a
video.
Whole nother topic.
Yeah.
We've talked about R. Kelly a lot.
Yeah. Have you guys seen the Aziz Ansari? His new stand-up act, he talks about how he had a bunch of bits about Aziz Ansari. Aziz Ansari's newest stand-up act, he talks about the stuff like because he had sexual misconduct allegations. He talks about that, and then he talks about all this stuff that he had said in the past that he was like, I should not have said that. And he was like talking about R. Kelly because he ended both of his stand-up bits before with illustrious bits about going to R. Kelly concerts and how he said R. Kelly was the greatest musician of all time.
Oh, no.
And he was like, I screwed up, guys. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. Yeah, I haven't seen that, but I want to watch it.
It's fantastic.
Yeah,
I showed you a clip of it. Yeah.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. Anyway. Side note, I want to plug Spokane Comedy Club. We got to go to the open mic night.
Oh, how was that?
It's definitely, you know, an R-rated situation. Yeah. But So it was good. It was good. We went twice now, and first time was hilarious. And it's really funny because some people just bomb, you know, and it's like painful. But that's funny too. Yeah. Like I get entertained by that.
Yeah.
Everybody gets 3 minutes, and it's an hour and a half, 3 minute sets.
Yeah.
Oh man, I feel like
my friends did that one time.
Yeah. I would just cry.
I want to go. I almost went one time, and then
we should go.
Let's go
Wednesday nights.
Yeah.
I work.
Well,
Wednesday,
sorry guys, that's my Bible
now.
Study.
I'm joking.
Wow. Do it on a different day.
But see, now I'm working.
You're working Wednesday nights?
Yeah.
Do you work Monday nights?
Yep. Okay. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday nights now. All right, I was working not Wednesday nights.
Okay. We need to figure out about our collaboration times.
Yeah, we do. But anyway, back on topic, which we're really good at doing.
Right.
Because we love it.
This isn't going to last for more than 5 seconds.
Yeah. So anyways, we're on topic right now, and we're talking about it. And what we're talking about is what it takes.
Okay, did you hear the other day?
To be a good performer. And yes. You work
be a
as
good
a
musician,
person
yeah.
in a place where musicians are.
Yes.
And they are like, hey, do you have a microphone that's recording right now while I play this instrument?
Right, because I'm ready to go.
And then you go, hold on, I just need to press record.
Yeah.
And,
No. A lot more involved. A lot more.
And Steve just like lost his job right there.
Is because I wasn't afraid of losing my job, but people think that, you know, the sound guy or sound engineer or producer pushes some magic button and the musician comes in and a song pops out. You know?
Right. I thought that was the joke.
Yeah. But. Anyone can record with a laptop, but but you can't make it sound as good as I learned and you taught me. And
Yeah.
Daniel's our intern. I say R, but it's really Stevie's.
No. Well, also, but since then, the last podcast, what you had told me about, you basically were like, in a nutshell, Stevie said, I really like your music. Your mix sucks. I'll give you the friends and family discount. And I say, okay.
Yeah, I stand by
you
that.
You said that, I think, actually right before the podcast. Mm. So last time I was here, we didn't have any good mixes yet. Well, I had one on the way, but that was
a
whole disaster.
Rough. No wonder you're so nervous.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, nice to meet you. Dude, like your music. Your mix sucks. Hey, let's turn the camera on.
Yeah.
Because I remember we listened to some of his stuff
that day.
Oh, and me and Justin had listened to some
and
before
that's
that.
Where you got that context, yeah.
Yeah, we listened to a few tracks.
Yeah, but that is, and because the creativeness of it was like, this is something cool and special.
Yeah,
needs help when it comes to that part.
Shout out to Mercedes for even listening to the bad mixes.
Right. See, that goes to show.
Dude, that could be a great, mixtape name. Listen to these bad mixes.
Bad mixes.
Mm-hmm.
That's hilarious.
Yeah,
anyway.
That actually could work. Here we go again.
Yeah.
More than 45 seconds, though.
It was good.
Credit.
Yeah.
But so they come into the studio.
Too. They come into the studio.
Come into the studio, and you're all ready because you know what
go.
It takes.
There you go.
And you're sitting there. You've got your, everything's queued up. We're waiting on the musician. Press record. They suck. They're not ready.
Right.
They should not have made this appointment.
Right.
That does happen sometimes.
Yeah.
So what would you say to those people?
You're not ready.
Yeah.
You're not ready. I mean, that's that simple. You're not ready.
Right.
And so that's kind of like the topic we wanted to open up is, you know, what does it mean to be ready? What does it take? But also like this contrast between people who actually are and people that think they're ready because, you know, they started writing a verse and they got stoked on it, which all of us kept writing music because that happened to us at one point in time.
Right.
And we played a lick. We were like, oh my God, this is awesome, you know, and that's the fire that keeps us going. But it has to keep you going.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you're ready.
So you're saying ideally you come into the studio fully prepared.
Yeah, ideally.
Yeah.
Knowing what it would take.
See, that's something that I've experienced with you, started doing internship with you, is watching that. Because when I record, I just do my house, and everything that we experience here, I just do by myself.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And then it's just my time, and so no one's getting bothered.
Right. Well, I guess it's kind of, you're ready in the aspect of you know what you're coming in for. And you're ready as you can be for what you're coming in for. And the reason why I paint a line between that is if you're coming in to record, then you're ready.
Mm.
You know, if you have questions about certain parts of the song, they're small ones. You know what I'm saying? You've got your big questions answered. You know your parts. Maybe in the back of your mind, you're like, oh, I end that guitar solo on the fifth, but I'm almost playing around with what if I end it on the seventh? You know what I mean? Like, that might lead into the next chord progression. Awesome. And you can, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you hit the fifth. You don't even necessarily tell me. You're like, hey, can we run through the guitar solo again? Then you play the seventh. You hear it back. You're like, I like take two better. That kind of stuff, totally acceptable.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's not like you have to be completely having everything worked out, but you're ready.
Yeah, you're ready. And talking shop for a second here, maybe that's something that we should really tune in is like that initial like conversation where we just drill them into get ready.
Yeah.
Because we've done that a bit with some people, but not like if we have like a full, like this is the spiel we give them.
Right.
Right.
He's intern. Justin's, he's been here when I've done similar because I don't always, I have sessions that I'm setting up to, they're more recruiting sessions that I set up. And those, like, I don't even, you know, those aren't, I don't charge for those. I believe I hear a gift or I believe in somebody and I'm giving them a shot to see, are they going to be somebody who wants to get ready, you know?
Which is a rare thing.
It is a rare thing. A lot of people
don't do that. And that's really cool that you do that, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's
part of why I love working with you.
Yeah, thank you, man. Thank you.
Also, I feel you're beautiful.
It's important. That is true. That is so true. It's important to raise. That's I think so it's true. Important to raise people up in whatever you do. You know what I mean? Like, if you're not raising people up, like, jazz is a culture of musicians for the most part that understood that to some degree better than a lot of other genres. You know what I mean?
Sure.
They'd have second and third horn players that aren't even necessarily playing in the live gigs that are interning under, you know, their main guys.
Just in case.
Just raising them up. Well, just in case, but also passing on the music and, you know what I mean, giving back and raising them
up. You're preparing them.
Like fathering, really.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Mothering and fathering the next
brother generation. And
sister. Yeah, yeah. So, anyway, super important. So in those situations, it's like that's what we're measuring. And so you kind of get to see both. You know, if a band is coming in here, you know, yeah, be ready. But again, or you can pay me hourly.
Yeah, right. As long as you're paying, take as much time as you need.
Yeah, but you probably don't want to be in here for 3 days laying one song down. That's fine with me, you know.
For now, until studio time gets booked up, and then you're going to be like, you're going to be ready first time.
Or I up the price.
I only make hits.
Yeah, okay, I'll book it up. I'll hold it up for you. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be this much instead of that much.
And yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, be ready. I think what we're running into a lot is that a lot of people think they're ready and they're not, you know, as you guys kind of experience, like even, you know, with the performance at the Pin, like what does it take for you guys to get your guys' bands ready, to get yourself ready?
And Justin had two different bands to play with.
Right.
Yeah.
They had to both be ready for
it. That was a little stressful.
Yeah.
You guys want to talk about that? Like, you know, what went into that?
On my part, hours of practice by myself.
So break it down into like a weekly. Weekly. How much time did you put into music by yourself?
Like 3 evenings a week for like 2 months at least.
Yeah. And that was something that really impressed me because you would be like, I'd be like, okay, we got to hone this in. People would be like, well, we got to go. And I'd get really stressed out because like, we are not ready. Yeah. And then you would be like, okay, well, I'm going to practice for 16 hours and on this and then come back and you would be like, okay, what about this and this? And I'm like, great, right. Awesome.
Yeah, because he actually did what he said.
Exactly. Yeah,
because they're like, oh, I got to go, but I'll work on it. And then, you know, you're like, yeah, right. Especially with musicians.
Oh, yeah.
They come back in. Yeah. Like, what? I said that?
Yeah, like people would be like, yeah, I'm going to come back.
What key's the song in?
I meant I was going to do it at our next practice.
Yeah, and they'd be like, well, I have, you know, when I come back, I'll have something for this. And they come back and be like, well, we should probably just cut it. Because,
right,
you're just like,
we cut a song for that reason because we weren't prepared.
Yeah,
yeah,
but yeah, it's just one of those things. I had something to go off of. I mean, with my band, I had 2 practices a week.
Right. So are you counting the 3 or 4 hours toward that, or you're saying 3 or 4 hours a week that just went in aside from your practices?
Probably put more.
Oh, more than 4 hours a week. It was
just by yourself.
It was 3 evenings a week.
And that was just
so
by
I would
yourself.
Get home from work and I would immediately start doing music. So
and those wait real quick, those 3 nights were not consisting of your, those don't include your practices.
Oh, they did. So
okay.
two of those were
my band.
Mm-hmm.
And then one night at least was with Daniel. So if
And then you were also practicing by yourself though.
This is true. So that was a little more sporadic, but it, you know, if I was doing a practice session, I would go through each song. If I was in writing mode, I would just pick a song and then write.
Yeah.
And then if I was in practice mode, I would do the whole set twice each time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're starting with at least an hour each time. But wow. Yeah, that's just because awesome. I was like, people are paying money
mm-hmm.
yeah.
to see some random dudes yeah. play instruments. Right. So I should probably know how to play my instrument
yeah.
correctly.
Right.
And that's part of what made things way easier for me was I was coming in and I was like stressing out at the beginning because I was like, okay, well, we like have so far to come. But then you've got Wes who's like just does his thing and I'm like, oh, wow, yeah, great.
Yeah.
And then you've got Nathan who would just jump on bass and he's got an ear for it. And so I just yeah. like could not worry about him. And then you had the most complicated parts where you actually had to memorize things and stuff like that. And then you would spend all this time on it. So thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah, no problem, dude.
Which yeah. translates into you, I don't know. Oh, wait, we already talked about it. You guys have a site. You got another band going on yep. that you're yep. forming, right? Mm-hmm. So Didn't things you. Like that, opportunities that, you Ending know, title. If he was yeah. like, yeah, I'm going to work this out, and he totally bombed, yeah. you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
that conversation wouldn't have continued into another opportunity.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
both we haven't really talked about. We're doing December the 10th, Misfit Hour 2. 13th,
right? Isn't December 13th?
What did I say?
You just said the 10th.
You know why?
Why?
It's my anniversary.
Oh,
yeah. So got his wife cool. on his mind.
I remember that more than the show.
Because the show's less
We are hurt, but we are proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you. Let me retract that, because that's not a show. That's real life. December 13th is
We're throwing the a show for hour, his wife.
It's Misfit Hour 2. December 13th, yeah. at the Pen again.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't anticipating plugging that at this time. Yeah. But with that said, you guys are both going to be in it again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Breakfast with Jonah, Daniel Taylor, and, you know, I don't know if you're playing during yeah. the set again or if
yep.
you guys, right. okay.
Yeah.
All right, let's get this settled. But anyway, saying like, you know, if you guys wouldn't have put the work in and we did a show and I watched you bomb, you know what I mean? Be like, oh, okay, cool. They're not ready. They're yeah. not invited to perform at the next one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like I would have been like, oh, I ain't working with them ever again. Yeah. You know what I mean? But there'd be conversations and some, you know, mm-hmm. getting ready. So anyway, so this is what it takes to have open doors.
Yeah.
You want to add or yeah?
Well, yeah. I mean, and then just being in just questioning your own abilities, mm-hmm. like, you need to be able to sit down and play through a whole song without messing up
mm-hmm.
consistently. Mm-hmm. I mean,
right.
there's always going to be the
or just look good messing up.
Yeah, exactly. You need to be able to recover well. That's one thing. It's yeah. like it doesn't matter. Like
that's a trick that you learn actually after you are to the point you're talking about, though.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
So if you
because you forget didn't you forget like half a song on my set.
I forgot all the songs.
He drew a blank when he
was. It still sounded great.
Yeah, I mean, so, I was, well, it's kind of funny because I picked up my guitar, plugged it in because I had two different guitars.
Mm-hmm. And he had literally just finished the set with your other band. You,
yeah.
You stayed on stage.
Yeah, pretty much.
You didn't even get off the stage.
Well, I think I ran off to pee because I really? Needed to pee before we started. And then I was just thinking about it the whole time. And then I was like, I gotta pee. So I ran down.
It really helped with the like dancing on stage though.
Yeah, I was like,
oh, man, that's so awesome to hear this. Cause I mean, that's kind of a stressful moment in the
yeah.
night, right? Like
yeah.
you're probably just chilling, listening to music. Then you had your set happens, you gotta pee, I gotta yeah. hurry up. And
yeah. yeah, so I go pee, gosh, I have to run pee back. I did wash my hands though.
That's awesome.
I was like, I will not forsake hygiene. Right. Because I'm stressed and rushing.
That's
so awesome. I ran back, get my guitar plugged in, and then everybody else is, you know, getting on stage, setting up and everything. And I'm like,
how does it go?
I don't remember any of his songs. Man. And I was like, okay, this could be interesting.
I'm mm-hmm. glad I didn't know any of this. I'm also really glad that I didn't see you run off and pee, because if I got on stage and you weren't there, I would have
freaked out.
Scared.
You would have not ran off.
Literally, we peed. Could not do the show without you.
Yeah, I would have just peed my pants.
It would have just been me singing over a drummer and then just like a thumping bass in the background.
Yeah,
it would have helped if the bassist had a distortion pedal.
Yeah,
because that could give us some more flavor,
but not completely.
Yeah, it wouldn't. Yeah.
And then later, Daniel would have peed on Justin mm-hmm. just to like make it
Well, if I was thirsty, I would have just
and not in a nice way.
Wow.
Ah. First, you're drinking freaking sweat. And now you're drinking urine.
Bear Grylls has proven that it's...
Thin guy is dead.
He was always dead.
No, it's thin kid is dead, too.
You're going to kill a kid? Like,
thin guy?
You're going to kill a...
stupid band name is that?
I genuinely, like, thought that's what it was when I said it just in that moment. I don't know why thin guy is in my head, but every time I say it, I go, ugh, why did I let Justin choose this? And then you go, thin kid. And I go, thin kid, sure. Yeah.
Wow. Hopefully he fixes that.
Anyway, so urine.
Are you a thin guy?
But also...
Yeah.
But also, yeah, I remembered.
Yeah.
The intro started playing because the intro was a backtrack. Yep. And then it was like, okay, now I remember. That's and it was great. Like...
And then everything comes back.
Yeah, it all clicked.
See, and those are... That stuff happens to everybody. You know, that's actually my most... Most of the time what happens if I'm going to mess up or I feel like it's about to happen is you're about to go into the song and you're just completely drawing a blank. Mm-hmm. Of what the beginning of the song is gonna do,
yeah,
and it's interesting, you know, because then if it comes back right before, hopefully it does. Everything's there, you know what I mean? You got the first two words, and then you just go in, and it's like everything's there. Yeah. If you're ready, if you've actually prepped, that stuff happens to people that have prepped.
Mm-hmm.
It won't all be there if you haven't done the prep.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, and it's it's a lot of work, and you kind of have to be willing to. I mean, the hardest part for me is going, okay, where am I actually at in terms of performing this?
Mm-hmm.
And then being able to translate that to hours. Like, okay, I need this many more practices consisting of this many hours. If you sit down and you like kind of like semi-schedule it out in your mind, you're going to be more prepared for the practices, and the practices will make you more prepared for the show.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that in and of itself is huge.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're playing shows consistently, you're not really in a spot where you can afford to mess up. And, you know, once you establish a rhythm, I'm sure it's a lot easier to not do as many practices.
Once it's not your first show.
Yeah, when it's not your first show with two bands.
And if you if you've been practicing, like, it was interesting because when, just plug on Mallory, but when they came in here to do a recording session, they had been practicing once to twice a week. For like 2 years in a garage, right? And they came in here like super timid, like we've never done this before. I know they wouldn't, mind me sharing this, but, like just nervous. And then as soon as we started the session, they were like first, second take on every track we did.
That's amazing.
Because they were ready. But they, again, like they'd never done it before.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't even know they were ready. You know,
right.
I mean? And that's part of, like, I love getting to play that part in people's lives. Like, that's part, a big part of who I am and what I do is get to be the voice to either say, no, you need to, like, you know what I mean? You've got it. Like, keep going. Or, like, hey, you got something, but you need to, you need to dive in and flesh this stuff out. And so, anyway, they'd been 2 years. So when they play, they're tight. You know, they had it worked out, but didn't know. So that for that is a confidence thing.
Yeah. So slightly off topic.
Yeah.
Question. All this talk of peeing.
Right.
You really
I have to pee so bad. Like I was literally debating. I wonder if any guests have done this past because I didn't want to be the first guest.
He has, I think, once.
What,
well, look, here's the deal. It's 11:18. He has to leave at 11:30.
Oh dang.
So.
Oh shoot.
Can you guys hold it?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Let's hold it. Sweet. Dude, I'll try. I might pee my pants, but it's worth it.
Yeah, just don't.
Have we been going for almost an hour?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Time goes faster when you have a guest, I've noticed.
That's time true. Goes faster when you're in front of a microphone.
Mm. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
It kinda... Stop drinking.
Yeah.
Yeah, stop drinking, dude. Mm-hmm.
So, what did it look like for you? Let's add some, I'd love to hear from you, like, as far as practice went. Like, what's that process like? You know, I know you've got special time that you set aside even in your own personal, not just practicing to get ready for something, but also, writing new material and stuff like that.
Well, so most of the songs, so what I typically have been doing is I record, I like make the beat, whatever, make the music part, record vocals over it. It's bad.
Yeah.
And then I bounce it,
mm-hmm.
listen to it in my car a bunch, sing along a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I come back, I'm like, okay, I have this figured out.
Yeah.
And so then I can do it a lot faster.
Yeah.
Make it sound better. And so because of that, I felt like I'd practice my songs pretty much, that I didn't have to practice a whole lot in the off time, that I could kind of work, focus on other stuff. And then when we have the practices, it would go like it wasn't, like I knew I was pretty prepared.
Right, you, lyrically, you had the words down.
Yeah, so I could focus on kind of like directing other people because mm-hmm. and be like, hey, like, let's do this or like,
yeah.
Which got in the way because I tried to get World Stops. I kept telling everyone that they were playing it way too fast. And I was like, I slow it down. Like, you guys are going twice as fast. And then mm-hmm. we listened to the recording and I was wrong. And we had to listen to recording multiple times over multiple different practices. I was like, no, we're going too fast again, which I wasn't. Mm-hmm. Or we weren't. But yeah. So I felt pretty prepared vocally, yeah. and so I could focus on other stuff and making everything else happen.
So how about like this? Let's ask a different way. Like, when it comes to, so I mean, who knows how many hours that translates? But you're singing over your stuff. You're in your car. You know what I mean? Like, you're practicing all the time.
Yeah.
When it comes to like writing new material, pushing forward. Mm-hmm. What does that look like for you? And I'm sure, you know, there's ebbs and flows.
Yeah, yeah.
With like, I'm really motivated. I'm, you know, going through a time where I'm not as much. Yeah. But now what's that look like?
Yeah. It just consists of everyday life. And I'll be like, oh, this sounds like this is a cool idea in my head. And mm-hmm. I just record it in my phone real quick, which is really funny because it's oftentimes in just the weirdest situations.
Yeah.
Like, I can't tell you how many times I've like gone to the bathroom at church to like record something real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Which last Sunday I did that and like there was someone in the bathroom. And so I was like whispering it as I was walking out the door. And so I have like a ton of different ideas. And then when I find what I really like, I just expound upon that. And it's oftentimes like driving home from work, I'm doing it and then recording it and then making it into something. And so I have like a verse and a chorus, like maybe just the first line, so the melody line, you know, and then I sit down on my phone, write more lyrics and go from there. And then I can, if I have just a verse or just a chorus, then I can go through all these old ideas that I have in my phone and be like, whoa, this one fits really well with this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so like on a time base, like you take time. I mean, do you have time that you set up? Like, say, for instance, you're not necessarily in a very creative, you know, new ideas aren't coming. Do you have time that you actually go, okay, I'm going to, you know, come back to this song and, like, work on stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I typically do. I mean, I just, when I get excited about something, start working on it, I just work on it. And then, I mean, I have a lot of songs that are half done,
right.
You know, and I need to go back and do those.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so a lot of times I'll try to have time set aside to like be like, okay, well, on this day off, I'm going to do nothing but new music,
right.
Which I haven't been doing as much recently and trying to get back into.
Yeah.
I've just been exhausted with work and everything, and so I lay in bed.
I understand that.
Yeah.
That makes me sad sometimes when I go through seasons like that.
Yeah, it's rough, you know, because it's like I want to be doing this and there's like – but then it becomes like a chore, and you don't want music to become a chore because then it's like by the time you get to the outcome, it's like fulfilling, but you're like, the song stressed me out so much.
And see, and that's interesting because there's a balance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm totally in agreement. As a creative person, like, well, I was telling you guys, like, you know, there's office administrational stuff that, you know, we do as a studio that's, you know, an organization. And I'm like trying to figure out where to put my office documentation because I don't want it near my studio at all, because when I sit at my desk, I don't want to be thinking about things I don't like to do. And so it's huge for me. But with that said, like, there's an element of like, I mean, it's like learning to play guitar, right? At some point there's elements to get good. You're gonna have to do some things that aren't super fun, you know, and if you don't, you're only gonna go so far. You know, so it's like finding that balance. You know, I know for me, like, when I'm not in a super creative season of life, that's a great time for me to revisit songs that aren't finished. You know, I'm like, I'm not feeling a new song. I'm going to try to write a new song. Let me go back. And sometimes you'll hear something, be like, oh, yeah, and you'll get re-excited. And you might have got stuck on it at some point, and then you can offer, you know what I mean, something back or you couldn't before. But
Yeah,
so I mean, that's kind of what we're talking about here, too, is, you know, you gotta know how you work and what fuels you, but there's also, like, you know, there's been, like, so many jokes about musicians, you know, for so long about, like, get a real job, you know, things like that.
And it's valid.
It is valid, it is. You know, I used to have the joke of, like, oh, what, so-and-so is not here at the session, he's the drummer, right? Because drummers are always late. And which is funny because it's like this cliche thing, but it's true so often.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that they can, they're just like, okay, well, I can just, it's everything set up, you know, like whether you're playing in church, whether you're playing in like a practice, everything's already set up. And so you can show up, grab your sticks and start with a guitarist or something like that. You've got to set up all your stuff.
True that.
And then they get lazy about it. Well, the drummers get lazy about it. And
drummers are so lazy.
Sometimes the drummer, he's the first guy there and he's like, why aren't you guys ready? Yeah. You know, it's like, there's definitely exceptions.
I have to be on time with music and reality.
Yeah.
So
so many of our practices started with drummer showing up and then us having to, like, he'd be like, hey, come on out, I'm smoking a cigarette.
Yeah.
And we'd, like, stand outside for, like, 10 minutes talking, and then he'd finish up and we'd come back in. Yeah. We're so grateful for you, Wes.
Yeah,
so grateful.
It's awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you better be a savage drummer if you want people to put up with your shenanigans.
Mm-hmm.
Shenanigans. Another, again, that's another cliche thing associated with drummers, shenanigans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true.
So
no diss on Wes.
Yeah. Anyway, that's, you know, that's kind of what we're talking about here is, you know, just because you're excited about your new song doesn't mean you're ready for a recording session or a set.
That's what, like, writing studio time is for.
Right. Right. Which is so, yeah, he had brought up the question about, like, you know, what does ready look like? Well, and so it depends. If somebody wants me to produce, you know, then like our collaborative project that we were working on, you know, we were ready to come in here and see what happened.
Yeah.
You know, so we had it kind of set up, but there were no lyrics. There were, because we're coming in here to make something, you know. And so in that kind of situation, it's tailored for you to not know the answers. That's what you're doing, coming together to find out.
Yeah, and that was a unique experience for me because I'd never done that before. I'd recorded, like, some stuff before with other people, but, like, not like this.
Right.
And so it was like, okay, here we're doing this thing. This isn't my thing.
Yeah.
This is, and so I had to, like, come in prepared, and that was fun to experience.
Yeah. Which is, it's fun. It's a whole nother learning
thing. Or even the cypher.
Yeah.
Which I wasn't as prepared as I should have been. But
that was awesome. I love that. Even watch, for me, just you as an artist, getting to watch that whole part, because I knew you were, like, felt outside of your element.
And I'd written it in less than 24 hours before.
Yeah, but it was just cool watching you push yourself through that whole situation.
It's,
you know,
fun
as a person, I'm like, dude, that's where you grow.
Yeah.
Is putting yourself in, like, you know. So watching the finished thing and... Yeah, it's awesome. But so what were, you had mentioned something about what did we want to end with?
I don't remember. No.
Were we gonna plug something or?
Well, I mean, remember?
I was gonna apologize for not making music video for Blind Spots like I promised last time.
Right. So the confessional now of when we haven't been ready or when we have.
Yeah, that music video fell through.
Yeah.
There's new stuff in the works, but I won't promise anything just in case.
Yeah.
I learned the hard way.
Yeah, I guess we could open it up. So,
how many albums I've announced?
Six?
I've announced a lot of albums throughout my life, and I've never put out an album.
Right. So here you are apologizing for this video that never happened.
Mm-hmm. But that's how he knows.
Growth, right? Because next time you announce an album and it doesn't come out, I'm going to smack you.
Yeah.
No, it's not going to happen again.
Yeah, exactly. Because no violence.
No.
But I do have
not because of that. I will smack you.
Oh, yeah, of course,
And you'll be like, thank you. Mm-hmm. I got to stop doing that now.
I have a date set, though,
with
Hypertuna to record the new music video. So.
See?
Yeah,
things are in motion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Sound Mind.
It's been a wild ride.
Mm-hmm. Justin did not pee his pants.
I did not either, but I am close.
Yeah,
same.
See you guys till next time.